MCB presents The People's Perspective, hosted by Felicia Booker and Debbie Plattner.
Yeah, we're happy to have Wilma this morning.
Hey, Wilma.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
In this episode, we would like to introduce Wilma Chestnut House. She has a powerful book called The Wilma Chestnut Story. For those of you who have not read it, I encourage you to do so. You have another book, Wilma. What is it called?
Messing Around in the Kitchen. That's my cookbook. When I was going to Dukeville, we didn't have anything to... Well, I finished most of my work in class. So the teacher told us we could bring in whatever kind of hobby we like. And I asked the class to bring me some recipes in. They did. And so with that being said, I decided I'll make a cookbook. And I took all my recipes home. And my daughter, who was 12 at the time, recorded them in particular order. And I went back to class and started typing it. And that was like in November. And in January, I asked the teacher to ask the people in charge, could we do a sample of my cookbook? And so everybody in my class cooked two dishes. And we had the book printed up. The secretary do the front page for the cookbook. And it turned out pretty good. We put it on cassette and we had it in print. And everybody in the building came around and tasted the stuff and they bought a cookbook or they bought a cassette. And with that being said, we did it at the open house at Goodwill. And then we went out to the one on North Lindbergh and we did opening out there for Mother's Day. And that was my first cookbook. It was called Messing Around in the Kitchen. So this next cookbook is called Messing Around in the Kitchen. And in parentheses, it says it's always better the second time around.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's so awesome. You've taken on many roles in MCB, and I wanted you to tell us some of your favorite roles that you've had in the past, and then we'll go on to talk about Sports and Rec, which did not exist until you started it. So we want to tell us a little bit about your MCB history.
Okay. Well, at first, I'd like to say I started with Tower Club way back in the day in 72 or 3 with Bessie Reese and Thomas Reese. And I wouldn't go to the meetings all the time, especially the state meetings, because they were always doing it during my birthday weekend. And you know how it is when you're 21 or 22. You know, I was more interested in having me a birthday party. But one day, Mr. Reese sat me down and talked to me and told me that Bessie and I are getting older. It's time for you and Elizabeth Reese and Thomas Reese to start getting more involved. I was like, okay, sir. So I started going to the meetings, to the state conventions and things like that. And eventually we decided that some of us would part from Tower Club. And that's how Agape got started. I was one of the founding members along with Elizabeth and her mother and a few other people. And I was in that position. I held the role of president once or twice. I was a secretary once, I believe. And then I became what I like best, the activity coordinator. And just moved into that. And it came time for the public relations position to be open, to be voted on. Mm-hmm. And one lady that was in our group said, do you want to run for PR? And I was like, And before I could answer her, the lady in front of me said, I would like to nominate Wilma Chestnut for PR. So that's kind of how that happened. And I was so surprised that I won because I wasn't even expecting it. But I loved it. Oh, I did it for about 5 years. I think Denny became president, Denny Huff. So I took his last year. And then I did it twice for myself. And I was PR for about 5 years. And I was all over the state of Missouri. And we had a blast. And I was at the Power Up, and I was in Sykeson, Missouri, and I was in Poplar Bluff, and I was way on the other side of Kansas City. I mean, I was everywhere. And I just thoroughly enjoyed myself. That I'm a talker, so I like meeting people. And that made it fantastic. Plus, I like traveling. And that highway thing got me, and I was just all over the place. And I really enjoyed that. Then I became a director, and that was it. I ran for president once. I didn't make that, but that's all right. Sometimes you can't win everything. And after that, I think Chip and Kay were president and vice president, something like that. And they asked me, would I like to be with a sports and recreation program? That was my thing, because before I lost my sight as a teenager, I wanted to be a physical education teacher for elementary school or an art teacher, both of those things. And once I didn't have my sight anymore, I said, well, there's something else I got to do. I got to figure out what else I'm going to do now. I can't do that. Until I got at the School for the Blind and I saw the different things that those kids were doing. And I got involved in, I did a little bit of the sports, but not too much at the school. And when I was 32, I found out about the United States Association of Blind Athletes. And man, I mean, I hadn't read since I was 17, almost 18 years old. And now I'm 32. And this lady asked me, did I want to learn how to powerlift? I mean, things were just coming to me, you know what I mean? She asked me, did I want to learn how to powerlift? And I told her, sure, I'll try it. And so we were downstairs in the gym working out. We finished working out. We went outside and they were out there on this track. They have this straight track and they have cables to keep about arm high, elbow high, and it keeps you in your lane. And I'm standing there checking everybody out and they said, you want to try it, Wilma? I said, yeah, I'll try it. And so I got out there and the first person I ran against was that little Danny Lawrence. And he was like a half a step ahead of me. And we got to the end, he was about a half a step ahead of me. And he said, aha, Miss Wilma, I beat you. I said, Danny, I'm 32. You're 16. And I haven't ran since I was 17. And I'm a half a step behind you. I should be bragging, not you. It kind of went from there. And I traveled all over in running track and powerlifting and the shot put in a long jump. I left there. When we finished that, I went to one of the events and they were playing goalball. And I was like, wow, interesting game. And the lady came and asked me, did I want to try it? I said, sure. And I got out there and tried it and I got me a few goals. And at the end of the meet, she said, Wilma, would you like to go to Australia to play goalball? I was like, oh my God, yes. So it brought it all back around. And then it was beat baseball. I worked at the Lighthouse for the Blind and they were starting a beat baseball team. And they said I couldn't play. I think they said I couldn't play. They said because I was a temp worker. I think they didn't want me to play because I was an older lady. I was 57 then. And I said, well, I'll start my own team. And so I started my own beatball team. And in that, they have a World Series every year. I was at the World Series in New York, and I met this lady in the bathroom. And she introduced herself, and we talked for a minute. And she asked me, have I ever played this game called Showdown? And I said, no. And she said, I'm going to show you how to play it. So we went down to this other room, and it's kind of like air hockey or table hockey. But it's fun. They have one at the School for the Blind, one of those tables. You saw it?
I saw that. Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And yeah. I played that game. And then she was kind of following me around. It seemed like every time I stopped, every day, here's this lady. And she said, hi, woman, it's Lauren. I'm like, why is she following me around? And then like Wednesday, she started telling me about her capabilities. Then Thursday, she told me about her capabilities. Friday, she told me about her capabilities. She started sports camp for visually impaired kids. And by Friday, I asked her, I said, why have you ever been to St. Louis? She said, I have. But nobody wanted to do it. And I was like, okay. So Friday evening, I said, you know what, Lauren? When I get back to St. Louis, I'm going to start a capability. She said, are you serious? I said, I'm so serious. And I asked her, how should I start? And she told me how to start it up. And I came back home and talked to Mr. Barney, great guy. Mr. Barney, I said, Mr. Barney, if I do a capabilities, can the kids stay here during the week? He said, sure, Wilma. Okay. And Mr. Cullerton is the second great guy. And I asked him, would he be on my board? Because he knows how to do those things. He said, sure, Wilma. And there we go. I think William Hawkins was our first treasurer. And I started the camp. We did that for about 3 years. And then I stopped. It was kind of like the end of it. And then when Kay and Chip asked me about being on Sports and Recreation, I was like, oh, my God. I'm back on it again.
Perfect fit.
Yeah, I'm back on it again. And so... yeah.
I remember that meeting when you started that.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I started doing things of activities to do. We started off a little slow with bingo, kind of sedate, but bingo. We did that a couple of times. And then people start saying they want to get involved. So I found out about this camp called Throne Tower Ranch, and we went out there and we had a fantastic time. So we've been going out there. This year will be our third year, I think. And we've been going out there every September, and we do our own cooking. We can sleep in tents or we can sleep in the cabin, and everybody chipped in. Everybody chipped in. They have a zip line. They have obstacle course. They have the climbing rock wall. They have the lake and all those things. And last year, we tried something different. We did the axe throwing. We did knife throwing. We had a compound bow, and we had a crossbow. And it was kind of funny because they had this bow and arrow that you use when you're deer hunting, but they had you sitting in this chair when you're doing it. And I was like, I don't want to take a picture sitting in a chair, shoot the arrow at you. I feel, you know, nobody please take offense to this. I said, I feel like I'm disabled sitting in this chair trying to shoot a bow and arrow. I said, I need to stand up.
Right.
Now I'm going into my D.I. Jane mode, right? So I had to stand up, and then I got down and I took that picture. Then I got down on one knee and I took that picture. You know, so we did that kind of stuff. And I actually did the obstacle course with him this last year. And then we did the famous mud mania. We had a big area. We got it really saturated with mud. It was maybe 10 feet by 10 feet, something like that. But it was all mud.
Oh, fun.
So we had the tug of war. So all the blind people got on one side and all the sighted people got on the other side, except Miss Prissy Kim. Kim Reese, our advocate, had to talk her into, kind of bully her into getting on our side to play. She's the girly in our group. And she's like, mud, girl, get over here and do this. And we had kids with us. And we had one little kid was like, I want to be on the blind side. And Kim said, no, this is her little niece. She said, no, you can't because you're not blind. But she said, but I want to be blind. I want to be blind. And I'm like, let her get over here with us. And the sighted people cheated us. They cheated us, you know. So I had mud in my, even though I took the shower and everything. They have showers out there too. It's great. Even though I took a shower, I still had mud in my hair like Monday and all that kind of stuff. But we have a blast out there every year. The people are great. They have horseback riding. And it's a wonderful place.
I've heard.
Last year we went floating on a float trip. I was the first one to get baptized. Okay, got thrown off the float. but everybody, we had three different floats. And everybody at one time or another got thrown out of the float. So I was not by myself. But we had a great time. We did the five-mile ride and got back and chilled out. And Terry, Kay's husband, Terry, and I were the cooks for the weekend for the float trip. And it turned out pretty good. And so we're doing it again in June the 13th.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I've heard that you were going to do another float trip. And you also don't forget to talk about the ski trip that you guys, that was another amazing thing that you did.
Yes, in January, we went out to Hidden Valley Ski Resort. And we went out there. And when we went out there, we had this tubing. Kim, once again, girly girl, he did the skis, but the rest of us did the tubing. And when we did that, it's fast going downhill. You're doing like 35 miles an hour going downhill. I screamed all the way.
Yeah.
The hard part is coming back up the hill because you're walking and you're dragging that tube.
Oh, they make you walk up the hill?
Yes, you do.
Oh, fun. It sounds like such a blast.
We had a blast. We had a blast. We ate out there. They've got this big fire pit you can sit around so you don't get too cold. And we'll probably be doing that again. In May, we are going out to Lake St. Louis once again, and we will be tubing and they'll be in the boats. But we're trying to see if they're going to have the wave runners. This is with the disabled water skiers.
Oh, wow.
I did that with them at Creed Core Park quite a few times, and they had wave runners. And the guy told me, well, I don't think they have the wave runners out there. They haven't had them since I've been going for 3 years.
Can I ask what the wave runners are and what they do? I'm not familiar with.
It looks like a big motorcycle on water.
Oh.
Okay. It's a big, hard plastic, I guess you'd say, with the engine in it and everything.
Uh-huh.
And you ride around it. It's like riding a motorcycle. With being blind, there's always a guy on front or a person on front. And they have, in order for them to do this, they have to have had at least 300 hours of riding this Wave Runner. And yeah, so I did a Creek Coeur Lake with a disabled water skier. And I was riding with this guy, and he said, Wilma, you want to get on the front? I was like, sure. I'm always up for something. So he took me down to the other end of the lake where nobody was, and he got behind me, and he said, okay. Now, if I lean to the left, you go left. If I lean to the right, you go right. If I lean in on your back, give it some power, I let up, you let up. Okay, cool. Oh, my God, you talk about so much fun. I was all over the lake.
Sounds like a blast, yeah.
I'm hoping that they bring the Wave Runners when we go in May. We'll be out there May the 27th for that.
Oh, no, that's my surgery day. No.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Well, and you're doing a lot of these activities, so I'm hoping, really hoping we can get in on those. And what's wonderful about Wilma, that she will go with her sports and rec team. She will go anywhere you need her. She's coming to Joplin to help us with an activity in June, and she's just willing to reach out all over Missouri to help with this, with these kind of projects. And it's really good because it encourages fitness, and it shows that just because we can't see doesn't mean we can't do anything. We still have a blast. And the reports back from those trips are absolutely wonderful.
Part two of that is, it doesn't matter how old you are. I will be 72 in October, so you can still do these things, okay?
I know, and it's so inspiring. And Wilma has inspired me a lot with PR. I've learned so much from her, learning still from her. And so that's just awesome, awesome thing. It's really, I mean, it's one of the best things that we have for MCB, I think, just really getting us out there, because so many of us sit at home. And you even do chair, the people in my affiliate love to get on and do the chair exercises with you. You do that as well.
Yeah, and we don't do too much. I start off really slow. We just do stretches from the chair and that kind of thing. We start with a little lightweight music. And as we get more involved after about a month, twice a week, after about a month or so, we'll start doing a little music. We'll start standing up. But I'll do deep knee bends. But we do a little knee bend and, you know, a little arch in the back, step to the left, step to the right. Very simple steps. And it ends up being a lot of fun because I tell everybody, hey, whatever you, especially if it's just ladies, whatever you think you look cute in, remember those shorts you used to wear way back when? Put on some of those shorts. You don't need any shoes on, you know, do it in your underwear. It doesn't matter. You're at home by yourself. Go on and do it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, get in the mood and start working out. And it's fun. We have a great time when we're doing it.
What days do you do the chair yoga and all the stretching?
Tuesday and Thursday evening.
Okay.
You have like a certain amount of time that you do it, right? Like you start on some date, or is it an ongoing?
We start at 6 or we start at 7. Sometimes we start at 6, depending on what's going on. Sometimes we start at 7.
I mean, time frame, like the program, is it like starting this date and then our goal is to go and get to that?
When we get a regular crowd going, we'll go back to doing that, because I tell them, you know, I give them exercise to do when they're at home alone, up and down the steps, or stand on the one of like the bottom step or the top step. You got a railing that you can hold on to, and you get your toes at the edge of the step, and you just go up and down, and you let your heels drop down. It stretches the calf muscles and things like that. So I tell them to do stuff like that. We do things up against the wall, like reaching for the sky, wall push-ups. That's what you call them, wall push-ups. And that way you don't have to get on the floor trying to do a push-up. You can do a wall push-up.
That's good. Things people don't think about, you know, so that's really good to have that guidance. I know that my people really like it.
And I talk them through it and everything, and we don't move too fast. And which was it last year? Year before last, I saw this ad on Facebook. It was about kickboxing, and they said they were challenging ladies. So I responded with, I have a challenge for you. That was my comment to them. I asked them, had they ever trained a blind lady? And she said, no. And I said, I'd like to come and try. So So I started in October, year before last, and I went to, I did October and November, and the lady is wonderful. And I asked her, would she mind training some visually impaired ladies? And she said, sure, I'll try it. So it was about six of us. I think Tracy Anderson, Carla Green, Jimmy Perry, Courtney Trammell, and myself. I think it might have been, Talana Burton. And we went out there every Tuesday, I think, every Tuesday. I think it was just every Tuesday, maybe Tuesday and Thursday. We went out there and we did kickboxing. We, with gloves and the big bag and everything. And the lady from Mind's Eye came out and she joined in with us. And naturally, she couldn't record it as far as visually, but she did the soundtrack for it. And we had a blast out there. We did that from December to April. And the lady's great. We went out to Creve Coeur. It's called Kick House out in Creve Coeur, Missouri.
Wow.
It is so wonderful. It just starts with a question. Can I, you know, a challenge. And it changes everybody's perspective, too, about the blind community. I love that. I love that. And it's just amazing because, you know, mine's been a slow progression of sight loss. And I've heard a lot of these things that you do, and it always amazes me, and it inspires a lot of us to do what we do. Right, Felicia?
Yeah.
You were talking about that, too.
Yeah. Kickboxing is how I got my start in fitness. So,
all right.
Yeah. I went to nine rounds a couple times a week. And they had challenges. What was it? The reindeer games. Oh, do you do anything like that? Do you do like a winter challenge for your group?
I haven't done it, not with kickboxing anymore. I haven't with kickboxing anymore, but I do different challenges. When we go out to the camp, we do different challenges. And I go to different schools. Sometimes I go to the schools. I think March and October are ability, not disability, but ability awareness days. And I go out to the schools with the kids and I set up the baseball bases and I have a pitcher and a catcher. And we let the kids try to hit, we make them put on blindfolds and they get three strikes. And if they don't hit the ball, they still have to run after that third strike. We make them run to the base just so they can get the feel of running, not being able to see. And you're talking about funny, that is some funny stuff. The teachers want to get into it too. I mean, the teachers get involved and we do that. So, and then the people that go with me, they show them how it's really done and it works out fine. So we'll do a challenge like that. We haven't did any challenges. We're getting ready to do a challenge in dominoes. We start with Kansas City and we're going to move around from place to place and we're going to do a domino challenge. And at the end of all these different challenges, we're going to take the best ones out of each group when they nominate their people. We're going to take the best ones out of each group and we're going to meet up in an area where we are a centrally located area. That's what you call it, a centrally located area. We're going to get there and we're going to have a domino challenge for affiliates to see which affiliate has the best players.
And you train as well, right? Because I don't know dominoes very well.
Oh, yeah.
It's been years and you kind of, I've got a few people that are definitely interested in doing that.
I would like to do it. I can do it over the phone and tell you how to do it. The aspect of the game is very simple game. As long as you can count, you're good. And they have the dominoes with indented holes, but they have dominoes with the raised dots. And I've got the dominoes with, I got both of them, but I got the ones with the raised dots for those that can't really feel the other one. And so if anybody wants to learn, we could do it over the phone. Get you a partner.
Yeah.
And I can teach you how to do it over the phone. It's very, very simple.
Oh, you should have like a dominoes training night over the conference line.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. That'd be great.
I love it because people are very, they're very interested in it. We talked about doing a step challenge throughout MCB as well. I know a lot of people are wanting to get that started. That was something I wanted to get with you and talk about sometime.
Step is in the slide or step is in stepping up and down the step thing.
I think it's your walking, your trek and your steps in a day.
Oh, the walking. Okay.
Yeah, they were talking about a challenge.
That's part of your kickoff.
In June. That well, but throughout MCB, I think they were wanting to do something like that, a challenge of, and I didn't quite know how to put it together, but boy, I know somebody who could help.
Everybody can do it starting off in June with your health fair kickoff. They can start then. And from the day of your event until the day you have your health fair,
yeah,
we'll see who's walked the most steps.
Oh, that's awesome.
No cheating. Just about everybody has a cell phone now, and they can, your cell phone has the thing. I have one that has, what is it called? Fitness, I think mine is called. And it tells you how many steps you took every day and how many miles you walked. Right now, I'm going over to the school for the blind on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday mornings because I'm going to get out there and walk with Four Rivers in May.
Awesome. Mike had contacted me and said he wanted to do it throughout all day. But I like that starting in June for our, that really gives me, that gives us a goal, a time to start. And then I like that.
And the thing is to keep a journal. You write what you ate for breakfast, what you ate for lunch, what you ate for dinner. You write when just before you sit down for the evening.
I'd be ashamed right now. My granddaughter was here, made brownies.
All right. You know, you'd be surprised. The more I exercise, the better I eat. And it's not a thing, I'm going to diet, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Right.
It's just the more I eat, the more water I drink, the less soda I drink, the less tea and coffee I drink.
You just start to feel better, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you, the more you exercise, you just kind of subconsciously start to do better.
Yeah.
And that's why you keep a journal. You write down what you did and everything. And fair when you, after your health fair is over, then we can all get together on the phone or something and talk about what we did, what kind of changes we made in our life.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. That's like I said, Wilm is always willing to help. And one of the things I want to talk about, I want to make sure we have enough time, was your passion project that finally is going to be put into action.
The bricks.
The angel bricks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Memorial bricks. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. I'm so happy.
Me too. No, and I wanted you to have some time to talk about that and how it's really going to help the community and this. Yeah, go for it.
I think so. There's a nice long flower bed right in front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
They have right now, they just have bricks there. And we're going to brick it in with memorial bricks, like in memory of bricks. That's the memorial, they call it, they refer to all of it as memorial bricks, but it's not. Only around the flower bed will be the memorial bricks. And then we'll have bricks for individuals, bricks for affiliates, bricks for community businesses. And where we spend all of our money with adaptive technology, we will have them. And we'll just, you know, we have to find a place for the dogs. I was told that there was grass in the back, but there's nothing but concrete in the back. So now the debate is, where should we put the dog potty area? And we're working on that. We need an architect. I'm going to get some young man from Rankin Technical College. That's what I'll finish. And I'm going to ask him to do a diagram. And for him to do this diagram, he will get food credit. He will get a brick. And then he can take pictures when it's all done and put it in his resume book. So
that's awesome.
That way, try to do that way instead of using money, I mean, instead of paying.
Well, you've been working on it for a long time. You've tried to implement this, and I'm so glad that it's finally coming to fruition.
So am I, and everybody's got them. Everybody's got them.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, the Art Museum and Lincoln University, CBC, which is a private school for boys over off of Clayton Road, the Art Museum, the History Museum, they're Roy House for the Blind has them. They're everywhere.
Wow. It's a great project.
And I think it's a fantastic fundraiser.
Yes. Yeah, I know Carl's really excited about it, too.
Yes. You get 21 characters per line, and that includes spaces, and you get 3 lines. You can put a lot on there for that.
Well, it helps the students, too, doesn't it, that are going to be helping with this project?
Yes. So, yeah, we're speaking with a couple of people that do that. Work with young people, training them. So it'll help us and it helps them.
Helps them. And it's just good for the community all the way around, you know. Yeah, I was really happy that that's finally getting to go.
Oh my, I mean, I worked on it for like, oh my God, it's been 3 years. So now it's coming through though.
It's been a while, I know.
the big yes.
So I'm really happy about that. So do you have any other passion projects besides, you've got so many. And it's impressive to me considering, and if you read Wilma's book, you'll know that she's really, I mean, it's amazing. It's inspiring to me, all the things that you've been able to accomplish after coming out the other side of something that was so traumatic. And it's kind of like when I hear people make excuses for why they can't, I'm going to give you 20 why you can, you know?
Yes. I had Debbie Sanders came up with this little game we started at the beginning of an event. And it's one of those tell two lies and a truth.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what all of it was, but one of them I said, before I lost my sight, I was very quiet and kind of to myself. I was, you know, when I got blind, the question was, is that the same little girl who sat outside the principal's office at lunchtime? Because no, I was very quiet and to myself. And when I said that, I couldn't help it. I don't know why I started laughing, but I started laughing. And everybody went, you're right, Wilma. You can't even tell that lie straight.
Yeah.
It's true. I was like that. I was very quiet and to myself. And I don't know what happened. I mean, once I lost my sight and everything, I mean, it was a total different direction. Like I said, I'm a talker.
Was there a point that you remember where it, because for me, it was when I started doing volunteer and getting involved in things. Is there a turning point where you go, you know what, I'm just done, you know, dealing with the negative. I'm going to start doing something positive. Was there a person or was there something in particular that got you fired up and inspired to change?
I think it was just me. I think it was just me. One of those people that I was one of those people as a kid, I wanted to be the best speller in class. I wanted to be when we played dodgeball, I wanted to be the last one to get it put out.
Yeah.
We lived in the projects for a while, and we lived on the ninth floor, and I don't like elevators. So I used to run up the steps trying to beat my mom up. You know, she went on the elevator. And that kind of thing. So I always had that kind of spirit in me. And when I got blind, Mrs. Barr came to the hospital to see me. She's an occupational therapist. And she bought me this basket and these little weaving things, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I made a basket, and I told her I'm not making any more baskets. And then she came back. She had the yarn and some little wires and stuff. And I made two French poodle things with yarn and stuff like that. I gave one to my grandmother and one to my great aunt. And I told her I'm not making any more. I'm not doing any more of those. And then she came with a typewriter. Nothing talked in 1971. But she came with a typewriter, and she taught me my home row keys and how to reach for the different keys, taught me the keyboard and everything. I said, now this is what I'm talking about. You know, so it's always been something like that. You know, I love a challenge.
Yeah.
I love a challenge. And so that's where I look at most things, as a challenge. And so I think it's been there. But I think really being in Agape was great. But I think once I became the PR, I think that was a great moment for me, becoming PR. You know, because sometimes we don't have the finances to travel like we want to travel.
Right.
Sometimes. And having a budget and everything and being able to travel all around and talk to everybody, that was a great time for me. It really was. And then we got a chance to do the, Agape got a chance to do the, what do you call it? The convention, the state convention. Oh, I had so much fun.
Oh, you did. Yeah. How many times did you guys do it? You did it quite a bit, didn't you?
We did it twice.
Twice, okay.
Yes, we did All Things Western in St. Louis. And in Joplin, we did, no, Springfield, I'm sorry. In Springfield, we did Route 66. We did a sock hop.
Yeah, that was my first convention.
Yeah. Yeah, and you won my basket.
Yeah, I did. I did, and I enjoyed it very much.
Springfield is the birthplace of Route 66. And with that being said, I said, well, we should do a sock hop. And it worked out fine because I told everybody to bring some socks.
Yeah.
You know, new socks. So we had a basket full of socks. We had over 100 pair of socks. And we took them and gave them to the kids at the school for the blind. Service Club does that a lot. Just sweeter tables. She puts a lot of that. She gives them a lot of you know, underwear and stuff like that for the kids. Just donate them, and whoever can wear them, you know, that kind of thing. And that's why I thought that's what gave me the idea to get the sock. And so it came in handy. We took it up there and gave it to Mr. Barney, and they were very happy to get those. So I just like doing it. Next year, Heritage, our new group, Heritage, will be doing the state convention.
I'm looking forward to that.
For the 70th anniversary. And we got big things planned.
Do you? I can't wait. Yes, me too. I always love going to St. Louis. Always has it going on. Sorry, guys, but they do. So we gotta catch up, man. And when people say, well, you only do stuff for St. Louis, that's not true. You know, we're trying to do stuff in lots of places, you know, all over Missouri. And say the word, and we'll get the people there to help. People have really helped me here in Joplin to try to get things going. I'm a new PR director, and if it wasn't for Wilma, I mean, I she's really been a help for me because, I mean, I love doing PR and I've done it in the past, but this has been a little bit different for me. And so I can't, her help is invaluable to me.
We're going to bring us a group down there. We're going to bring a group of Heritage members down there.
Awesome. They are looking forward to it.
Anybody that can come, bring some support. If you have an affiliate, bring your affiliate or whatever your affiliate does, bring your information and get a table at the health fair.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see one happen in Kansas City and St. Louis as well. So it'd be great if we could do that and all of us support each other.
Now, you have the dates on that for yours?
Yes, it's my health day. It's called I Care Health Fair, and it's October 8th. It'll be at the Joplin Independent Living Center. We've been lucky that they've partnered with us and been so good to let us do so many things there. In fact, we'll have a subcommittee for it at the Independent Living Center. So they've just been really helpful.
See, it's people working together, I think, that makes the most sense. And Wilma, I did look forward to playing bingo with you guys that last Saturday I was out in St. Louis.
That was fun.
Yeah, part of the reason I joined MCB was Sports and Rec, finally a group that had something in common. Is there a good way to find this information? Like, how do we get in touch with you and follow what you're doing for Sports and Rec?
I need to do better about having it posted with Debbie.
We all do.
Debbie Sanders, I need to get it. I need to do better about having it posted, but I can get on that.
We're coming for you, Debbie.
Sometimes we have things way planned, way in advance, and sometimes we just say, hey, you know, let's do this. Or, hey, let's do that.
Spur of the moment. Absolutely.
So, and that's how it happened with me doing it in Kansas City next week. I said, well, you know, we're going to be right there in Independence, and that's like 30 minutes away from Kansas City. So instead of coming back to St. Louis and playing a trumpet from Kansas City, I might as well just stay down there and do something in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just a quick thing. And I'll take my great-grandson with me and take him to the National Negro League Baseball Museum Saturday afternoon as soon as the meeting is over. And then we'll do our domino challenge. And we're going to have all kinds of things there. We've got other games, and we're going to have plenty of food and everything. Just, we're going to have a good time down there. Give everybody a chance to let the hair down.
Yeah, I know. We're going to look forward to having you.
Yes. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's your affiliate, isn't it, Felicia?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
And Merle and his wife, they called me and told me that they called me 2 days ago and told me they had a place. And so we'll be ready to get it going.
Aren't they great, Merle and Lisa?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yes, they
He's
are.
Passionate, too. He really has a passion for advocacy. Yeah.
Shout out to you guys.
Yep. And once we finish that, we're going to go listen to William and his band. They're going to have a whole 4-day Saturday.
Where are they playing?
I'm not sure the name of the place, but he said they're in Independence. They're close to Independence. So we're going to just stay in Independence and drive to Kansas City and, you know, hang out there for the day and come back and get ready to go see, go listen to William and his group play.
Yep. So anybody trying to come out for the, well, if this gets out in time, sorry. If anybody coming out to Kansas City better stay for William's band.
Well, he plays all the time. He's a drummer. He plays all the time. I think we went on the boat once and listened to William, and then we went to a few bars and listened to William. So I've heard him quite a few times.
I can't wait to hear him. I haven't heard him yet. I was supposed to, but yeah.
I haven't either. I'm in as affiliate. I've never, just never had time to stay for after the meeting that long. So I look forward to hearing him though.
Well, and the convention, will he play?
I don't know what they're going to do with this one, hospitality wise or anything.
Yeah.
At a convention we had at the Sheraton Chalet, that was one of the best hospitality nights that I had seen in a long time. Steve Smelly, who's passed away, and Terry and Mike Hamm, and I think William played, and Robert Vaughn. These guys just got together and they played and they jammed. Oh, they threw down. It was really good.
Sounds great.
So they are good.
Yeah.
Robert Vaughn is me with that guitar. You guys got to hear
it. Yeah. Well, his daughter's my SSP. So yeah, I'll eventually get to hear him.
And Terry. Yeah. Terry's good with that keyboard. I mean, the guys are great.
Have to check that out sometime. So do you already have several events planned at this where you do the horseback riding? That's something I'm really interested in. I'm real interested in checking your camp out this year if I can.
Well, at this place, they have the horses. They're horses that people are getting ready to get rid of, or they just wanted to rehome or something. And they mostly deal with children. And it's kind of a family thing. And that's how I met them, through this lady, Heather, who's a professor at Lindenwood. I met the camp people through her. And they have camps, and either the father, the mother, or the children, one of the children, have different issues going on. And so they all get together and talk and hang out with each other and do things. And I went out there to show them how to play beat baseball. And that's how I found out about the camp. Yeah, so they have the horses. These horses don't let them go out in the woods and just go on trails and stuff. They have a big obstacle course, and somebody kind of guides the horse and walks them around through this obstacle course a few times and everything. But as you ride through there a couple of times, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't go through the woods. I like the trip.
Is this the same one? Did they have the zip line at this one as well?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Okay, sweet.
And I did the zip line for the first time last year, and that was amazing.
How'd you feel the next day? That's what worries me.
Once you go up the first time, you're like, okay, I can do this again. I can do this again.
Sounds like fun.
Well, we're going to Merrimack State Park in June, and they have a zip line that takes you across the lake and through some trees and so forth and so on. So I got to see a few people do it before I do it.
Yeah.
Make sure they have a clear pathway. And they have caves. I don't do caves, you know, but the other stuff, the hiking and stuff like, yeah, they have caves in Merrimack State Park. I don't do caves, though. So.
I don't blame you.
So that's one they have to go on their own.
Well, it's always a blast, and they always have good things to say when they come back. And I've seen pictures and stuff, and it's just, I'm so glad that you got that going. And, you know, I saw my first beatball game out at Debbie Sanders had the sirens out there to do a game. And it made me want to do it, which is weird because I'm not necessarily real sporty, but it looked like so much fun, you know, that you put on the shade because I still have a little.
Well, you don't have to do it competitively. You can do it just for fun.
It did. It was really one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I posted some stuff on my Facebook and my kids and people were like, oh, really? I didn't know they did that. All the things that we're talking about, they really surprised, especially sighted people are like, I didn't think I can't believe you guys could do that. There's a blind hockey league.
You'd be surprised how many volunteers you get. It was a guy walking through the park one day. When I first started my team, it was a guy walking through the park. And he stopped and he watched for a while. And then he asked me, you know, what do you call this game and how's it going? And I said, what do you like to try to pitch for us? And he said, sure. And he got out, he tried pitching a little bit. Then I said, what do you like to try to bat? And he said, sure, I like to try. And it was a great thing. I think we did the kids, it's some kind of kids show we used to come on, do the Cardinals or something like that. And they came out and videotaped the game. And the guy that pitched for us was one of the guys that we met in the park.
Wow.
And that's how we got a lot of our pitchers and our catchers and stuff. I had one young man, he came to help me set up for our first tournament. And he said, can I learn how to play this game? And I told him, sure. He's just going to set up chairs and, you know, talk for the other team. And I told him, sure. And he ended up being our pitcher and our catcher. And if you have to have at least six people to play the game, six people offense, six people defense. But you can have some extra people. So if one of your people gets injured and you don't have any more visually impaired people, a sighted person can play. They have to wear sleep shades too.
Well, sleep shades, yeah.
So he ended up playing like that. And we needed a team to play against. And there were no teams in St. Louis other than our team at the time. And so we got some sighted guys to come out and they put on sleep shades and they played with us. And that's how we ended up getting one of our pitchers.
Wow.
And he's still pitching for another team. And the other guy is still back catching for another team.
They have a World Series for beatball as well. That's why I was really surprised. I wanted to go, but I didn't get to go this year.
And this year, it had gotten down to like maybe 16 teams. This year, 24 teams have signed. We have the team coming back from Taiwan. It's called Taiwan Home Run. They are awesome. We have a team coming back. It's a new team from Puerto Rico. We have Dominican Republic. We have a team from Canada.
Amazing.
And that's not to say all. And Oh, yeah. So they've all signed up again for this year.
This all takes place in St. Louis?
No, this last year was in St. Charles, Missouri, but they sold the property. They were supposed to do it again out there, but they sold the property. So now this year it's going to be at SIUE and in Caseyville.
Where is that in Missouri?
Illinois.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. Just a hop and skip.
From where they stay in the hotel, it's a few minutes more going east than it was going west of St. Charles, but it's just a few minutes more.
That's pretty cool though. That I like that. I wish we got more press for things like that. Maybe that's what I need to try to do.
They've been doing pretty good with the press. It's been picking up a little more with Jason, because Jason does a lot of the exhibitions and things like that. And then some of the other teams do it. Donnell Booker with Indy Thunder. They are so awesome. And let me see, there are other teams. They're pretty good. That Taiwan Home Run team is, oh my God, they're so great. The first World Series I went to in Georgia, fantastic. They put on a fantastic tournament. And that team, the first part of the day, they had you racing in boat racing. And the blind person did the rowing, and the sighted person sat in the back, and he was the guide. They won that. They won first place in the tournament. They had number one MVP defense, number one MVP offense. I mean, they just racked up.
Wow.
Yeah, they are good.
Well,
but we're going to see who's going to win this time. I'm putting my money on Indy Thunder. I'm sorry, Archers.
Where do the Sirens come in on all this? I've heard of them a lot. I've seen them around. Are they a local team, the Sirens?
They're from all over. I think about three, maybe four of those ladies on that team came from my team. Kim, who's over it, and Cassandra, Kim's daughter that pitches, Mari, and a lady named Catherine. And if I'm not mistaken, those ladies are on my team, but I think Erica Wolf is on that team. And then they have some ladies coming from a couple other states.
Okay.
I don't do a lot of traveling. Everybody does a lot of traveling. You don't necessarily have to play in your state.
That was the exhibition game that I had seen out at Debbie Sanders' adaptive ball field. Plug for her, because she's got one out there, and it was pretty cool. Nice one.
They have a new team now called the Vixens.
Oh.
And they're from, I don't know if they're from California or from Las Vegas, but that's a new ladies, all ladies team.
I like it. The Vixens.
Yes.
Before we run out of time, Wilma, when you're cooking, when you're doing your activities, what's something you like to listen to, whether it be music, a show? What do you put on for background noise?
I'm addicted to the books.
Audiobooks.
Yes. Audiobooks on Bard. I'm addicted to those books. And I have a friend that has a podcast, I guess a radio show, called EFY, Entertainment for You.
Okay.
And I like that. Yeah. So that's, I use my Alexa to connect my book to it. And I've listened to, my friend has taught me how to get on there to listen to the football game. I'm a Colorado Buffalo fan. So I like listening to that football game.
It's neat. I just wanted to tell Wilma, thank you so much. And thank you for all that you do for the blind community. And just personally, a lot. She has been such a great mentor for me with PR and, you know, always willing to do whatever it takes to improve the lives of the visually impaired community. And it's just, I'm just really grateful.
And I do it all with love.
I know.
I love all
of
it.
Can feel it. I can, you know, I think all of us can feel it that you do. I know. It's awesome. It's passion.
I get all excited.
It's passion. I love it.
Wilma, you got any advice for PR and membership?
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah. I think at one time they weren't letting us go to the colleges and stuff like that due to the COVID thing and everything. But I think now we can do that. You can go get in touch with the person that's over the disability department or the, whatever they call it. But get in touch with those people and tell them you'd like to set up refreshment kind of thing and get with the ladies, get with the people, the students, and introduce them to MCB and tell them about the different things that we do and the different things that we have. And you guys have a budget, so you can go to these places. You can afford to go to these places. And if you do it in here in St. Louis, if a few of us can go and talk with you, if you do it in different cities, you can take people from those cities and let them talk and speak. But I think that would be a great way of getting some of the younger people to do it.
Oh, I love it.
They don't mind. Yeah, they don't mind going, but they don't want to do meetings all day long. Young people don't want to do meetings all day long. You got to add a little tech to it, a little sports to it. That's why we're changing our, that's why we changed our camp around to do stuff a little bit different. You know, Mike is good with the axe throwing and the knife throwing, and Carl Teeman is good with the crossbow and the compound bow. So we have different people with different skills, and those are the things that get the young people coming.
That's amazing. That's a great plan.
So I think we have to introduce them to that kind of stuff. And just go to the colleges and talk to the people. Yeah. They have softball teams. The ones that have softball teams, the Sirens, or the Archers, Jason would pull up to do it. Tell them you like to challenge their softball team to a meatball game. That's how Mind's Eye first started. They used to have businesses would pay a fee to participate in this fundraiser. And all of their players were sighted people. And they would put on sleek shades and they would play against each other. Funny. They would play against each other. And the winner got the trophy and everything. And they, at the time, they only had Lighthouse for the Blind team that were visually impaired. And then our team came and we started playing. And usually it was our team and the Lighthouse for the Blind that ended up being the last two teams. But they go out there and they have fun doing it. But it was a lot of young people. Call the colleges and see if they have a softball team. And if they have a softball team, tell them, hey, talk to Jason and see if he'll let his archers play against them. It's always fun. It's nothing else. And that's how you get them involved.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, definitely. Thank you for that. We could. That's a really great idea.
Again, Wilma, thank you so much for doing this with us.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I know I'm still learning this.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'll do something new. And I'm getting ready to go into the school now.
Cool. I loved it over there. That was a great tour. I wish I could have went with you.
Did you guys get to see the tandem bikes?
No. He showed the motorcycle thingies. He got me on one of them. That was pretty cool.
He has a tandem bike that has 7 seats on it.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't see that. We'll have to go sometime, have you bring us and show us around. That's what was supposed to happen, but you know how things go. But yeah. Anyway,
yeah, so one day when everybody's up this way and we got some time, we go, especially in the summertime. Oh my god, it's so much fun over there.
Well, and you guys are doing the convention there, right? In 26. I mean, I wonder if we could get him, you know, the school involved or do a special tour or something like that. I don't know, it's your convention. I don't know if that fits or not, but I sure was impressed with it. I advise everybody to go check it out. So,
yeah, it's compared to 1971, that's a whole other place. He's getting ready to do an indoor track, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And
Yeah, he's got a zip line and everything. It's just amazing.
Yep, they got the zip line and they finally got bleachers. I used to wonder, how do you have a track meet at the school and you don't have bleachers? Well, Mr. Barney's got bleachers out there now. He's got tandem bikes with the 7 seats. Then he's got the tandem bikes with a little motor to it. So if you have limb issues and you can't really paddle, you can turn on the little motor and it goes about up to 20 miles an hour. Or you can just paddle.
Neat.
And they've got all kinds of cardio training stuff. I took my ball team out there and that's where we did our cardio workout.
Sweet. All right. Well, I could talk to you all day. I know you probably gotta let you go.
All righty then. Okay. And thank you, ladies, for having me.
Okay. Well, thanks for doing this and we really appreciate you a lot.
And you have a good day.
You too.
Bye bye.
All right, you too. Take care.